I know it's after Thanksgiving, but I think it's still appropriate. In fact, you'll find throughout the message, I think it's appropriate to give thanks after Thanksgiving. Amen? So today I want to talk to you about giving thanks to the Lord. I want to look at a psalm that is written for, I believe, us, Psalm 136. I trust that everybody did have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Everybody ate turkey, ham, you filled up, you had enough. It's amazing you have it because you'll eat it again. Christmas is on its way. You'll enjoy all those things again. But each year, I think it's great that we are reminded that we have much to be thankful for. I think it's good that we have a time that's set aside. And it's good to appreciate and be thankful for all the material things we have. But of course, as Christ believers, we look far beyond the material things that we have, and we recognize that God is the true giver of all good and perfect gifts. Amen? So church, we now owe our lives to Him. Every breath that we breathe, it's an incredible gift from God. Every pleasure that we enjoy is a spectacular gift. Every satisfaction we have in this life that we derive from what God has given, we have to recognize it's an amazing gift. How about the majesty of the beauty of creation? It's one of the most outstanding gifts He's given to us as the Lord of creation. But the greatest gift is the gift of His love that's redeemed our lives. The love of Jesus, amen? And Him giving His life for us. Now this morning, though, I want to remind us of the one who is worthy of all the thanks. As we look at Psalm 136, we'll remind ourselves that it's the Lord who's worthy of thanks. Now this psalm in the Jewish community is referred to as the Great Hallel. It's the great psalm of worship. And this morning, I want to experience it maybe just a little different than we normally would, but I'm going to invite everybody to stand up. We're going to do it in an antiphonal form this morning in style. What I will do is I will read the first line, and then you echo the second line. You're going to find out how hard this is. And those who have already looked at it, it makes it pretty simple this morning. But I do not want you to back off. Okay? I don't want you to just, you are about to speak the words of God. The words that have been recorded for us to be a reminder to us. And we need, I believe, to give God emphasis when we read His word. When you pull out the book, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and all through the, you know how you read that? Why don't we read the word of God with that much enthusiasm? Amen? Here it is. Psalm 136 reads this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. You're getting a little monotone out there. The church, to worship with this psalm, you've got to do it with life. I paused here for a moment. Just want to give you a good ending, amen? I want to give God a good ending because it's His word. He goes on to talk about what happened out of Egypt. He says, to Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. To Him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Shion, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as an inheritance. An inheritance to servant Israel. He remembered our low estate and freed us from our enemies. And He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. But Lord, I want it to become active and living in us. Lord, I want Your word to change us. Lord, I don't want to just read a psalm. Lord, I want that psalm to take seat where it belongs in my heart and in my mind, that Your love endures forever. Lord, speak to us by the power of Your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, as we look at that very verse as this: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I want to first just quickly look at the goodness of God. How many believe that God is good? But the word good is used so often that unless you stop and really think about what the word means, it's easy to miss the point of why we should be grateful for God being good. Have you thought about the phrase lately, God is good? What does it mean? We kind of just say it in passing, and sometimes we miss the importance of what we're saying. Well, first of all, let me remind you from the Word of God that God is good. He is not evil. We all know there's good things, there's bad things in this world. But you need to know that God is completely good in the sense that His character is pure. His character is holy. His character is righteous. His character is good. God is not sustained by evil, but by good. His motives are not corrupt. He is not double-minded. He's not two-faced. He doesn't compromise His character. He never gives in to that which is evil. God is perfectly consistent. The Bible says there is no shadow of turning with Him. There's not even a hint that God will compromise with evil. He will never renege on a promise. He never abandons those He loves. God is good in the sense also He is competent. He's a God who rules with wisdom. He rules with excellence. Aren't you glad that God has a plan? A good plan? Jeremiah 29:11, many of you can quote it. He has a good plan for you. God is for you. Even in the confusing times, isn't it comforting to know that God has a plan and He knows what He's doing? He has a purpose for everything that comes into your life. Also, God's good in the sense that He cares. The Bible says He told us, cast all your cares on Me, for I care for you. God cares about you and your life. He notices what you're going through. And He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. Why? Because the goodness of God is good. He's good. A second thing that we notice from this passage is that we're to give thanks to God because He is God. I want to talk to you about the godness of God. Look at the way this psalm begins. First three verses. Give thanks to the what? To the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. The writer of this psalm is not suggesting that we give thanks to some undefined spiritual being. He's not teaching that we should have some spirit guide or some spiritual presence or even grateful that I have some God concept. I am thankful to God. The writer is urging us to give thanks to the one who is true, the one who is supreme, the one who is above and over all. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 8 writes to this church and he says, well, we all know that an idol is not really a god and that there's only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for Him. And there's only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything, and through Him, or through whom we have been given life. This morning, our thanks should go only to one who is the true and living God. He is the God who made everything. He sustains everything. He rules everything. He is the only King of kings. Our praise and our thanks should always be focused on Him and not the things of this world. The God that we thank is the one before whom every knee will bow, whether regardless of their religion, regardless of their race, regardless of their nationality. Every knee will bow and confess that He is Lord. That's why we believe in the Godness of God. He is God. He's revealed Himself through the Word. He's revealed Himself in the life, in the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no one like Him. In Revelation, there's a scene of the redeemed who are declaring the greatness of God. In Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways, King of the nation. Who will not fear you and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and will worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." He's truly the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there is no one like Him. The goodness of God. The Godness of God. But third, I just want to briefly look at the endurance of God. You remember this statement that you repeated? His love endures forever. 26 times you repeated that. We can let it grow old in our lives, especially in the repetitive way, because it's like, oh, yeah, I said it, I did it. But where do we allow this to begin to live in our lives daily? You need to understand that God's love is not inconsistent or erratic like the love in the world is. The love in the world goes up and down and it changes with the wind. People are nice to you when they want something. They express love when they feel pleasant. They're our friends as long as we agree with them. But the moment circumstances begin to change in the world, their feelings toward us can change. You know what I'm talking about. But God's love is constant. His love endures forever. It's day in, day out, every day. When you get out of bed in the morning, you can be sure of one thing. God's love will endure the whole day. It won't last just a moment. His love wasn't just for Sunday mornings for us to gather and feel His love while we're here. His love is His place in your heart. He has lavished His love on you, the Bible says. God can be counted on every moment. God is always there to pick us up when we fall. He's there to rejoice with us when we succeed. He is committed to you. Even though we're not always faithful, He will always remain faithful. He's constant. He will endure. God is good. God is God. And God's love endures forever. This morning, in very simplistic terms, I just wanted us to look at this and learn the fact that you're not alone. You are not forgotten. You are not without the help you need. The Lord loves you. He knows you. He'll help you overcome. He'll help you endure. God has not forgotten you in the past, and He won't forget you in the future. You just put your confidence in His goodness. Put your confidence in God. Put your confidence in His love and praise Him regardless of what the circumstances say. Church, we always need to have this gratitude, this thanksgiving as a part of our daily life. Instead of complaining to God like we do. Well, you are quiet this morning. James, you ever complained? Meet me after service. Well, no. Church, have we ever complained? Yes. But when do we get this thing that His love endures forever? His love endures forever. I may not feel like it, but it is a truth that is standing firm through all the ages. And we get rid of the complaining and say, but God, He's for me. He's good. He's God. And His love endures. He's there for me. Make it a point to kind of look around you throughout this next week and begin to bless God this week. You say, well, I did that last week. That was Thanksgiving. What about this week? When do I give thanks in all things? I need to get my heart set on Him, get my mind on Him because of the goodness of God. You need to remember that. You need to remember that God is God and remember the endurance of God. He is forever. And I want to be with Him. His love endures. How long, church? Forever. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, His name is to be praised. This morning, as a church, we go through several things that happen in life. And this morning, one of the things that we do as a church is we have membership. And I am thankful this morning for the blessings that God has blessed this church with. I've had 6.5 years I've been spending with you. I am grateful for that opportunity. Each day when I come here and I serve here, and on Sundays and my prep, I am happy to be a servant of the Lord, and I'm happy to serve you. Church, don't ever think as pastors, oh, they're too busy and they don't have enough time. Church, we are here to serve. The very term pastor means shepherd, a caregiver. That's what we're here for. We're here to pray with you and believe with you. But we're not the only ones. He's given us the church, the body of Christ. And this morning, it's my joy that I'm going to present to you 22 new members of this church. As I call them forward, I just want you to think about, for many of you who are already members, praise God. But listen, membership to me has nothing to do with heaven. We know that. We've talked about that in membership class. This has to do with you saying, you know what? God has called me here. He's placed me here. He's going to use me here. I'm going to get involved here. I'm going to serve here. I'm going to be a part of what God wants to do in this community with this church. And that's why we connect. The government says, hey, you're going to be a 501c3, then you need to have a membership. You need to have a board. You need to have all this. So we the Bible says, obey the laws of the land, and that's what we're doing. It allows you to have vote. It allows you to have voice in what this church does. But listen, you need to know that we are one. And I'm one with you. We are not many in the sense of we have many ideas. There is one God. And we've gathered around that purpose. And this morning, I just want to pause and I want to thank God for you. And I know there's guests among us today. But listen, I'm glad that God, because we're not, has all these churches. In fact, today there are people getting up, getting ready in California, getting out of bed saying, you know what? We're getting ready. It's time to go to church. It's time to be the church. Church, all throughout this world, there'll be believers getting up, going to bed, praying all throughout the day. While you get ready to lay down tonight, there'll be others who are worshiping God. Church, I want us, though, to recognize that God has been good. The history of this church, it's all kinds of history you can walk through, but the bottom line is God has been good. God has been good to this church. God's been faithful. And there's many of you that are from the foundation of this church. Some of you grew up in it from a youngster. God's not done with this church yet. And until He returns, we're going to be telling people about the saving power of God. We're going to tell them about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses them from all sin. We've got to tell people because church, God is God. And I need to tell His story. One other thing, though, I want to thank Him for is His love. See, I find a lot of people get frustrated because the enemy has lied to them again and again. and said, God's not good. God can't forgive you. God doesn't love you. You need to remember the Bible tells us he is the father of lies. He makes them up. He lies to you to deceive you. But I want you to know God's love is enough for you today. His love is powerful. It can change your life if you'll walk in his love. And this morning, maybe you need to find his love. Maybe you've been out of it. But he's there waiting like the father for the prodigal son. In fact, as soon as he sees you turn his way, he'll run to you. God wants to meet you where you are because he loves you. Heavenly Father, for us in this place today, I thank you for the many years of ministry that's happened, not just in this building, but in the lives of the people in this place. Lord, would you continue that ministry? Because God, your love wants to reach out to even people who are here today. And Lord, may they find that you love them and that you'll forgive them. For you died on the cross. And Lord, by faith, receiving what you did, we are saved. Lord, would you save them today as they call upon your name? Thank you. And God, help us as a church to remember that you're good. Lord, that you wouldn't do anything to harm us. And Lord, also that you're God. That you're the only God. There's one God, one Lord. And Lord, we look to you for our help. In Jesus' name, thank you.